Warning! The following podcast has been approved by a Canadian.
This is Super Megatron, and I approve this podcast.
Viewer discretion is gravely advised, eh?
What the f*** is going on down there?
Welcome to Waffles, Tomatoes, and French Fries at TFW 2005. This is Vangelis. With me today is Aaron.
Hey, how's it going?
Lupus Convoy.
Yo.
And Omegas Prime, who just debuted his new hit YouTube series.
Greetings, mortals.
Yes, that was a shameless plug, by the way, that I just did for you there. Shameless.
Yeah, thank you very much for that.
Omegas just, he's been doing a pretty cool series reviewing bad toys, but he also just started something else, which was the 30-second rhyming review, which I thought was really creative and a cool idea. So, go and
give except now it's way too popular.
I know, you got the fans at the door.
I gotta do more of them now than my actual reviews that I have a little more fun at.
That's the price of internet stardom, man.
Damn popularity.
Anyway, let's dive into what's new this week. The first one would be a slight update from last week. Animated Skywarp indeed has no new head, at least going by that prototype that showed up. So, was anyone here looking forward to, you know, like a gasping Starscream head or like a sad one?
It could have been interesting, but it's a standard. Throw new paint on something, put it out again, get more money.
It's a Starscream. Is anyone really surprised that it's a straight repaint?
Not really, no.
Yeah. Well, I saw a pretty cool Photoshop of him, like, with his mouth in a circle, and I was like, that's kind of amusing. But, yeah, I wasn't really expecting new heads, although we are at that point where it's not ludicrous to expect a new head on a repaint. But I figured that since their heads are all practically identical anyway, it'd be kind of a waste. But, yeah, so all of you out there hoping for new heads, break out your magic markers and paint one on yourself.
Get a little sculpty.
All right, carve them up.
Actually, here's another plug. Head by the Radicons forum and ask our cadre of cool customizers to alliterate to help you out. They know all about all that kind of stuff. They can, you know, they could probably even tell you how to use like RIT dye to like remold the wings.
Is that possible?
It is when you're a Radicon.
I've done that, you know, not intentionally, of course, but I've done it.
I was just trying to make dinner.
I'm never eating over at your house again.
Another thing that popped up were some details on the Pop Box Movie Prime head bust. Now, I know that I think every show now we've brought up busts and statues and how none of us are interested in them, but I thought the Pop Box thing was still worth mentioning just because it has all these neato details and people might have skipped over it and may not know about this. Now, I'm not saying everyone should go out to buy it because it is $180 and it comes out in November and it is just a giant head. But it's bigger than that Bumblebee one. It's pretty big and deep. It's got light-sensing, light-up eyes and a lot of die-cast parts with the best blurb I've ever seen. Quote, touching these areas, you would really feel the cool metal parts which adds to the item, unquote. And his Cybertronian runes are actually etched onto the components. So, for some...
That's a pretty cool touch.
Is.
Yeah. For something loaded with that much detail, do you guys think... anyone will dive for it?
Oh, there'll definitely be people buying it, but again, you know, not it.
As the token bust collector, I'm not even going to go for that. I mean, the etched on glyph's pretty cool, and the details are amazing, but that's way too high of a price point for something for me to drop on right now.
Right. I think I'll stick with the Optimus Prime helmet, especially if the lights actually act up. Like, I don't want to wake up in the middle of the night and just, like, jump in my sleep, and there's Optimus Prime's face just flashing into my eyes.
Have it staring at you.
Can't sleep. Optimus is going to eat me. Can't sleep. Optimus is going to eat me.
Prime watches me in my sleep, and his eyes glow lustfully. Yeah, well, it's a cool thing, and I think it's great that they're doing hyper-detailed, you know, movie collectible stuff, so who knows, maybe something even transformable might show up at some point. I mean, it would be kind of cool if they did, not really a bust, but maybe even just like a kind of scaled Optimus Prime arm that can transform to have the sword come out. That'd be kind of a neat experiment in engineering.
Over the course of 10 years, you can assemble your very own Optimus Prime.
10 years, 8 movies.
We get these armies of Optimus Primes marching into BotCon, and we're like, we're here for movie number 15!
I gotta drop $160 to get his ass now.
Comes with real smokestacks. Moving along, some Henkei color schemes were revealed in official photos for Sideswipe, Tankor, and Silverstreak. Everyone knows my haterade-driven, mad, horrible, vicious hate-on for... Oh, no. But I looked at those, and actually, I like Sideswipes, but Tankors and Silverstreaks didn't really inspire me that much. What about you, fellows?
I'm with you. The only on that Sideswipe does it look right. The other two, it's like they went, oh, we need to chrome something. that! We'll chrome that! Wait, what's that? That little hinge piece? Eh, okay. I don't understand the how they picked what they did for Octane or Tankor or whoever that is.
Whoever that is.
Octa-Tankor. Something about the chroming, actually, on Prowl and Silverstreak. Now, this is where I get torn again, you know, because I think it's cool to nostalgically chrome, like his... I'll be specific here. His shoulder missiles. But at the same time, if you have the toy, you know that those fold-out shoulder missile things undergo so much friction and bumping into parts. Like, I cannot imagine how well the chrome on those would survive. I hope to be proven wrong, but I just suspect those are going to be a very painful and delicate thing to move on the Henkei releases.
Yeah, I could see, like, a silver paint going over really well there, but not the silver, not the chroming. I mean, when is that ever, that process ever really held up? Anybody have any Beast Machines?
I have a Jetstorm that looks like he's been in several traffic accidents.
I never opened BotCon Cyclonus, so I can't comment too much on it.
I haven't even let mine see sun. That's how afraid I am. I'm just going to look at it one day, and it'll just be poof, purple dust.
I'm waiting for the day I look in his box, and his window is just like he's completely bare chrome, and there's purple lying on the bottom, and he's still in his twist eyes. That'll be when I really get a hate-on going, but something I can't really get a hate-on going for, despite it being something I'm not really looking at, is the animated PowerBots Cyberspeed Bumblebee. Have any of you guys seen the videos on the features of this guy?
I actually got the chance to fiddle with one in the store for a while, and kind of like the bumper battlers, you just sit there and you keep making noises with it until you realize that there's a bunch of parents staring at you, clutching their children.
So I'm not the only one?
I got dirty looks at Toys R Us when I just looked at the bumper battlers the other week. I was like, ooh. And I was glancing at them, and this parent next to me was like, ugh.
Bait.
I'm only buying them to lure the children. No. I would never lure children with Transformers. That would be disrespectful to the franchise. I would use candy.
So you're going with the old standby.
That's right. I think it's another thing where with the movie line it's cool to see that Transformers can afford to do non-transforming items and it's got like Bumper Robinson's voice or whatever, right?
That's great.
Yeah,
I think it's really good way that they're going to be able to keep that sort of non-transforming toy thing going. The fact that they're really solidly tying it in to with the voice actors and whatnot, not like the first version of the Prime Helmet or the...
I have that!
I bought it too, and then the little brother and sister got it for Christmas. But
I'm Optimus Prime!
But I really think that using those voice actors to do that stuff really shows the connection between the cartoon and the toys that, we haven't had before, and then also will help maybe... I always like to dream that collectors mean something, but, get... get those of us that grab a bunch of that stuff to get it too, because it has a different voice clip than anything else.
Well, that's why I'm tempted by the bumper battlers, just because, like, especially if they do get Phil Lamar on the Jazz one, I'm going to be tempted just to have a talking Phil Lamar toy. It's a great way to suck people in, especially because they're getting so many like named voice actors in the voice acting realm on these shows. That, I mean, like, even Corey Burton on Ratchet, if someone's, really into Corey Burton, they might just get it to say, I have a talking Corey Burton toy.
So is there going to be a Lance Hendrickson one that you're going to grab from?
Yes! Bumper Battler's Lockdown I would buy on the spot, pre-ordered, stolen from China. I'd do an exclusive first look review at it, and it would just be me, like, in the bathtub with the warm water, you know, running over my head, pushing the button over and over again.
That's a very scary mental image.
I'm sure I'll favorite it.
Another topic that came up, this is kind of related to news, but I thought it would be worth kind of discussing as a thing, is because Hasbro put up some more universe instructions. What do you guys think of the... Because as far as I can recall, it's been a while since instructions were showing up on the Hasbro site, like before the toys came out. I think it's a cool way of previewing the toys in an official way, and it also really helps out the raving suckers, who, and I'm totally not one, who, you know, spend extra money and getting stolen toys from China, because I'd never done that, you know.
Of course.
Never. Ever.
Yeah.
Aaron's done it. Shut up! but it's also helpful to those of us who do that, because most of the time, you know, no copy menu, there's no instructions.
Yeah, I was scared the first time with my Magma Bulkhead.
Yeah, so what do you guys think? Is it like it's a pretty cool way to preview stuff too, like, you know, Ultra Magnus getting to see his transformation if you so choose to.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything intentional. I think it's probably more just a matter of fact of, okay, well, Department X now has these instruction PDFs from whoever it is that assembles that. Let's put them on the website, and in this case, they got ahead of the releases. I don't think it's some sneak peek leak thing where there's somebody in the web department that's steepling their fingers and chuckling, "Aha, I'm going to scoop those eBayers.
I'm going to send them in a tizzy on the websites."
Yeah.
Posting my instructions secretly.
It is a tease, though, because you can only see them in black and white. They showed Lockdown's translucent figure, and we don't even know if it's painted or not.
Yeah, and it's also like, you know, you can't even tell, you know, if the instructions will be red or purple on gray.
It does give us plenty of chances to sit there and color them and give practice to our crayons.
Inside the lines. So, yeah. Inside.
Aww.
That's what I used to do.
If I was a good Radicon, I'd make these for real. Click, click, click.
What I don't understand is, how do people spot them? Because all I've seen is, like, there's a big list on the Hasbro.com site of, like, not just for Transformers, but for all their stuff, like manuals and instructions. Like, is it just like a case of people heading by that page and F5-ing it now and then?
I think it's more... It seems like each one has an individual product code that the file is named after, and people are just spitballing whatever code they can come up with.
Ah, okay. Clever people doing Hollywood-style hacking.
The fate of the world depends on the instructions for Lockdown.
And they're hammering on the keys, and then the word hacking appears on their monitor, and then
Axel ring.
You must discover the secret of making him so tall.
Well, now that we're talking about, you know, something related to war games, because this is another clever segue, guys.
Bravo.
Walmart animated board game set. Who's going for it?
I saw it and left it.
Not I.
It's a game of tic-tac-toe, a game of checkers, and a puzzle, and something else that I couldn't quite figure out.
An original board game. It's probably, you know, like you roll a dice and you have to move around and race to the end. I think it's a cool little idea.
This comes with miniature pewter figures, right?
I don't know if there are pewter figures, but yeah, there are four little figures on the top.
I'm guessing they're plastic and just kind of look metallic-ish if they're done like that. I can't actually tell from the picture. But, it's a pretty cool idea. I mean, it's something that I, like puzzles, like that's classic. Way back in the day, it always used to be, there were puzzles done for every major franchise. And now they're doing this little board game set, and it's like, it's more of this, this ancillary merchandise for the Oddities collectors. Hi, Alfie! to go after it. And I feel bad, actually, for the people who did collect all these oddity-type things, because back in the day, to continue nostalgicking, it used to be, like, every now and then, maybe there'd be a sleeping bag put out. But then the movie and animated, there's more oddities merchandise than there is actual mainline merchandise.
Well, that's just I think, a matter of the fact with the cross-promotion, you can make so much more money, you know? You just kick out a sleeping bag. Well, you can make a billion of those with no effort. Make cloth, mm-hmm. make sleeping bag. Sell and make money off the franchise.
And also terrifying Halloween costumes.
What haven't we got for oddities this year? I mean, we've got the toothbrushes, we've got towels, we've got sleeping bags,
underpants,
we've got party favors,
we got the body pillow shaped like Prime.
Wow,
excellent!
I think there's a lot of happy fangirls right now, but I mean, there's a lot of stuff from the '80s that we haven't gotten oddities.
Where is the train set, and where are the what do you call it? You know those racetrack cars where they're on a rail and you
slot
car trigger. Slot cars. Right, I never had those when I was little. So
they made those for the movie.
They did? Well, yeah. There you go.
Bumblebee, they did.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, well, where's the train set then? I mean, outrage! Hasbro!
We need a train transformer first.
Well, where's my motorized Transformers animated train set with a caboose shaped like Bulkhead? Where is it? My question. Even though it seems like not all of us are that interested in the famous and exclusive to Walmart animated board game set, what did you guys get this week, if you got anything at all?
This week I got the two SDCC exclusives that are still sealed because I haven't gotten time to open them.
I've not gotten anything this week. Everything is still on the way because they took so long to process my order.
Oh, you poor guys using Hasbro Toys Shop. That's right. Hasbro Toys Store.
Well, the last two things I managed to open were the two Universe Ultras.
You bastard!
Yes, well, I've seen multiple sets. If you're looking, you know, well, I can hook you up.
I'm holding out, although I probably will go through the States because up in Canada, Ultras are $40 a piece.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh,
ouch.
Voyagers are 30, Ultras are 40. This will all, if we ever do a little Canadian segment, I'll be sure to bring that up so we can all complain angrily and then all, you know, give you guys dirty looks for your $20 Voyagers. And then, and you guys who are like, damn, this Ultra is $25? We're like, yeah, 40!
I managed to score the SDCC Nemesis Prime and animated Jazz, Snarl, and Soundwave, and I did manage to get my hands on Classics Powerglide, but unfortunately, I didn't inspect it close enough before I realized, after getting the half-hour ride home, that it was a return and missing its missiles.
No.
And it's
gone. Oh.
Nipple torn.
Yeah. I was very upset.
Man, well, I got in some... what did I get this week? I got two new animated toys, and... I better go edit out that last part where I said I don't think so. Anyway, I got Sentinel Prime and Magnus for pretty much Canadian retail, plus how much it would cost me to go around looking for them.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's the thing. This is something to clear up a myth. Not everyone who buys stolen Chinese toys spends hundreds of dollars. Because I'm an evil person who buys stolen Chinese toys, so I even wait until I can find them for close to my bloated Canadian retail prices. That is why I am the undisputed king scalper, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. But Ultra Magnus is a... That's right. Ultra Magnus is a pretty nice toy, and, I mean, he's already at Big Bad Toy Store, and some people got him anyway. He's something to look out for. He's like all the bits of the other two leaders that I liked put together. So like a complex transformation, and he's got really really tall and menacing shoulders. So it's cool stuff.
It's the shoulders that do it for you, isn't it?
It is, because they're full of like 500 guns.
Cool.
I want guns in my shoulders. Or at least like one big gun on my body, kind of like Megatron, who just had a new fan-made toy by Jizai Toys. He just got made into a headmaster. They put together this figure, a little Megatron figure, who has a gun mode, a tank turret mode, a robot mode, and a headmaster / shoulder gun mode. And he's kind of designed to go with Robot Master's Reverse / Rebirth Convoy, depending how you translate that, you know, katakana. Have you guys taken a look at the pictures of that?
Yet another case of insane little fiddly bits for an incredibly small niche.
It just looks so intricate. And really, it's a lot of engineering that went into that.
I'm wondering who actually sat around and thought there was a need for replacing Megatron's head, and not only that, it has to form as many things as possible.
I think it's because the Jizai guys seem to pretty much, they make toys that, like I'm not sure how many guys work in that little, it's like a garage company pretty much. They seem to just make it, like they think to themselves, what toy do I want? And then they make it. And then they make like 30 of them to sell at a convention. And then they're like, now what toy do I want? That's pretty much it. I mean, like, because their product line so far has been, you know, like, Cyclonus, Wheelie, and Power Glide. And it's like, I'm really sure they're just doing toys that they wanted to see done. And then they make a couple extra to make some cost back, and that's about it.
Yeah,
it's really cool stuff.
I seriously doubt there is a big demand for a custom Wheelie.
That's why I like that they did it, because I was like, man, a cartoon-accurate Wheelie with, like, a really intricate transformation. You know? Rats Jizai.
If you look at the pictures, though, when it becomes the headmaster, it kind of has this look of Galvatron with the crown.
Crowny bit on there, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that. Maybe it's like a Galvatron upgrade head. I'm serious here.
That's just what every Megatron needs.
Well, it'd save a lot of time.
If you don't want to get the repaint, just plug the head on.
Right.
Get a crown now! You'll be crazy! Yes, yeah, so that's pretty neat. The Jizai stuff you can actually find. The only problem is, since it's only sold at conventions, usually as unassembled kits, a lot of Transformers fans, and this is not meant as an insult, this is mostly to inform, a lot of Transformers fans seem to go into Jizai stuff thinking they're going to get something that looks like the picture, and it's usually a disappointment to people when they find out it's quite literally a textbook garage kit. It's resin. It's unpainted, it's often needing you to buy, like, another pack of polycap joints. But if you're into that kind of stuff, from what I've heard, they're pretty satisfying in terms of being garage kits. They're just not, like, they're not toys.
Get in the mail and wonder who sent you a Gundam model.
Turns into a head?
What?
Some assembly required.
All assembly required.
You have to drill your own screw hole in those things. But, you know, heads, man. I was thinking about the other day, what if I had a golden head? And then my questions were answered, because there's a repaint of Lockdown with a golden head. It's called Blazing Lockdown.
Oh my god.
How was that one? How was that one? I'm just flying through the top.
Inspector Gadget couldn't have reached for that one.
Blazing Lockdown is the flame-decoed, chainsaw-bearing Lockdown brought up way back at BotCon, way back being, what, like, April, so not that long ago, but it's a pretty cool-looking repaint. Have you guys taken a look at it?
Yes. Damn you, Hasbro. Look, I was doing just fine, one of each mold, and then you have to go and do that.
It's got a chainsaw hand. That's so awesome.
Chainsaw hand just and like fixed wrists.
Right. That's what I like. I like that we are at that point where we can get repaints, but they still have extra parts now. So at least you're not just buying it because it looks cool. Or in my case, because it looks like Big Daddy.
Oh god, it does.
And then occasionally picking them up because they're fodder for another video review.
Right.
Yeah, I like his deco. So I've now this is something that I hate. I think the golden head is cool, but a lot of people weren't into it. So that's looks like it's going to be a point of contention, but I think it's a neat idea, and also the bio on the back of him says something about exotic energy sources filling him with power, so who knows, maybe that was just written up for the toy, or maybe that'll be a plot point in the future. The only disappointment I found, and this may be proven wrong, is it looks like the chainsaw blade is something you just kind of plug on in place of the hook, like it doesn't replace the hook inside. So I was always thinking like it was going to be like something that folds out and extends, but that was me, you know, speculating, and we all know what happens when speculation happens.
Well, I thought that's what they showed at the BotCon panel, was they showed it in car mode with the, like, on the back of the card with the chainsaw blade out there. It's only once we see it in the package that it looks like it's something different.
Yeah, well, maybe they tried and then just couldn't get the budget for, like, a multi-part thing. Cause I did figure the chainsaw would be too big to just fold in, like, the hook.
Yeah.
That said, though, it's show accurately sculpted. It looks like his hand flattened out, which is pretty much what he does in the show. Is his hand flattens and grows blades, which, again, I wish I could do that. Actually, yeah, talking about animated, Season 3, YTV may have confirmed it before Cartoon Network, which would be kind of amusing. How much salt are you guys taking this with? YTV said they're hoping to have new episodes of it, coming in the next season.
I think the key there is hoping, because then didn't to hit another story with the rumor of Bob Ford and Larry Dottillo writing an animated episode. I thought that said something about in the spring that their things would be airing, and so that either leaves a big gap between YTV and Cartoon Network airing it, or different people are saying different things, or we're all looking at baseless or semi-baseless rumors.
Well, it might be another split season. You know, just get what we can out there right now to keep it popular, and when we finish the rest of it, we'll shove it out there.
Yeah, but at 13 episodes, a big air quotes season, I'm splitting that up into six, that's kind of...
It worked for Battlestar.
Well, but Battlestar's an hour long apiece, not a half hour.
True.
I've seen it done before.
Well, I'd be surprised if they had episodes done already, because, season two stuff was going on, and season three seemed to be in, admittedly, a state of hiatus where it was almost definitely going to return, but I didn't think there were going to be new episodes ready, now, unless, that's just me assuming that they started, after a break within a season two. Maybe they were working on them right away.
I can only hope. I have friends going through withdrawal from that show, still being out.
And actually, here's another piece of evidence on the glass half-full side. Remember, back when Beast Machine's second season aired, YTV aired the entire second season, way before the U.S. got it, due to how Fox did its seasons back then.
It wasn't also syndicated before, not actually being housed at one place, where a channel could opt to air this or buy this to air rather than being a Cartoon Network cable net channel thing.
Yeah. Might be it too. I'm mostly coming up with excuses for there to be new animated episodes coming out constantly forever, because I enjoyed that series and that.
Keep dreaming that dream.
I decided to, tap my inner fanboy speculation muscle, so I was like, you know what? I bet they got six seasons all done already.
I know when we were at BotCon, during one of the panels, they did show an image of Perceptor and something that they were working on for season three.
Yeah, I remember that. Yes. It was just sent to them today or something similar to that. So I bet probably what's been happening is everybody's been, all the people at Cartoon Network and Hasbro have been kind of working on it and getting it ready. And looking at, okay, well, we could do this or we could do that to try and keep busy while they're in between, waiting for whoever it is that gets to sign that off to say, and go, so that they can have a running start on it rather than going, no, wait, trans what now?
Yeah. and I'm going to, Buzzbeak pointed out that you could chapter jump to hear me say this constantly last podcast, but on the topic of transform what? Transform Art. Takara Tomy is sponsoring an art exhibition based on Transformers over in Tokyo. Have you guys read about the...
Very loosely based on Transformers, from what I saw. Transformers on a TV with a couch upside down was the first one that I saw, and I went, oh, modern art.
Mm. Well, you see, that's the thing, is I expected it to be like that, but they also said it's going to have... original toy art, concept sketches, etc., etc. Some stuff directly from Takara Tomy. So it's kind of interesting, because we all know that argument that always comes up whenever that the other guy who does that art gets mentioned. Not that I dislike his art, but the best way I can remind people of it is, imagine if you took 500 RID toys and threw them at the wall really hard, then assembled things out of the pieces. That fellow.
Right.
I expected most of it to look like that, but I think it's interesting to mix the modern art stuff with the more blatant art stuff in terms of the concept sketches. The only downside being that this does, of course, bring up that discussion, the art discussion, which never ends well.
That'll be interesting to see what comes out of it.
I could do art for that show, I think.
As an artist, not so much.
I'd do performance art. I'd be like, watch me transform myself.
With your chainsaw hand?
It'd be a live evangelist review. And see, then you can get your legal toys straight from the source and have them there, the next day.
And then I'll get like a giant version of him that'll have these two humongous puppeteered hands reach around the audience. they're the camera. And, yeah, you know, Evangelist Review, the experience. Hear that, Takara Tomy? I'm here! I'll do it! Just give me a grant and a lot of toys, and I'll come over there and I will reinvent art for you.
So you need me for your warm-up act, though, because I don't take very long.
30 seconds.
Get you to do, like, 15 reviews in a row in one breath.
Yes.
All in iambic pentameter, and then the two giant foam hands will just burst in through the walls.
Yeah, so Takara, I need a lot of toys and, like, three extra lungs.
Lungs! That makes me think of Gog Dog, and it might be a perfect time to... It works! It might be a perfect time to segue over to a Gog Dog message.
Gog Dog's Journal. Dear Journal, I've been thinking of ways to improve the podcast. Since it is Transformers related, what could a TF fan want in a TF podcast more than gimmicks? I've been thinking of all sorts of amazing gimmicks to include. First, we could offer a WTF missile launching iPod case. Whenever Evangelist says a $15 word, the hair trigger would shoot the listener in the eye with a missile, just like a real Transformer. Next, we should include random sound effects in the episodes, like machine and gun sounds that have nothing to do with what is currently being discussed, and voice clips, spoken by people that sound almost like Buzz, Drew, Aaron, Lupus, Omegas, and myself, but not quite, just enough to keep people guessing. Finally, Journal, and this is my favorite, we could make a clear version of the podcast. When you look for the download link, you can't see it, because it's clear. We'll only make 50 copies of the MP3, and since it will be limited edition, people will pay us a premium for it. Oh, this is going to be great, Journal. Just wait and see. Well, that's all for this week. Until next time.
So that was a message from Gog Dog, and personally, I appreciated it and respect it.
How could you not?
I wholeheartedly disagree.
Oh, we should fight about it on the forums.
He's got my AIM name. He knows where to find me.
In terms of finding things, rare things, and, you know, things people might fight over, Seacon test shot set found on eBay. Have you guys taken a look at that auction?
I haven't looked at that specific auction.
I have.
Well, basically what it is on eBay is a set, I think it's missing maybe one or two parts of pretty much the original Seacons, except it's all done in very prototypey white plastic. The molds are stamped 1987, so it may well be a Generation 1 set, because the first thing people thought was, well, yeah, they're doing them for the club. Of course, there's prototypes out there. But what do you guys think? Do you think it's an 80s set of prototypes, or do you think it's just a 90s or 2000s
set of prototypes? Wasn't there the last time when Walmart was looking at it, didn't another or maybe even the same white proto set pop up and got bounced around for a while?
You know, I can't remember.
I think the news story says something about that, but I don't. I thought I remembered. Yeah, well, actually, look at the front page. Mm. But I distinctly remember seeing that pop up and having the same round of speculation of, oh, they're warming up the molds, or they're trying them to see if they're still out there and working, or whatever. I just think it's probably just another case of whoever got that set or someone at the original source finding that and saying, hey, you know, we could make some money on this.
I think it's really funny that I think it's Overbite, the shark. He's missing his arms. Every Overbite I've ever seen, he's always missing those arms.
I guess those would be the one or two pieces missing, man. That's kind of major.
Even Hasbro cannot find those pieces.
What do you guys think, though? I mean, like, do you think that whether or not this is a prototype made in the 80s or lately would enter into how valuable it is? Because it is still, like, a set of, like, pretty much a mold testing set of a fairly large amount of plastic done up in clearly testy colors. I still think it's probably going to have a lot of people aiming for it just for being a fairly rare prototype.
Yeah, that's going to give it value no matter what. I don't see it being the newer one making it cost more. I could definitely see it if it was the original G1 for sure, but at the same time, That sort of market gets crazy because all it takes is two people that really want it to make it look like it's something worth a whole lot more than it really would be otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. The way I see it, it's like, okay, here's how it is. Okay, so it's the 80s prototypes. It'll go for a couple thousand. Or it's the prototypes for the new ones. It'll go for a couple thousand less, but still a couple thousand, pretty much. I mean, that's some hyperbole there, but I figure it's like, it'll just be a difference of whether it goes for a lot of money or a lot of money plus a lot of money.
As of right now, it's still got, almost 6 days. Just shy of 6 days, and it's at $405.
Ow. Yeah, that's going to end huge.
And the reserve is still not met.
What? Is there a reserve on
it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's going to be fun.
That's where I start to hit the thing with eBay. It's like, you have something that people clearly are going to go bidding mad on, right? Why put a reserve on it? Like, I understand if it's something where you're not sure if it's going to sell, but, I mean, if you put up a week-long auction with some prototypes for toys whose prototypes you see on eBay maybe like once or twice ever, it's like, I got to also make sure I get at least this much money for it, because, you know, I might only sell it for a penny. I just never really myself understood.
I mean, I know the purpose behind the reserve, but why not just start your auction at the least that you want it to sell for? Unless you're doing the crazy starting at one penny, woo! Deal, then, you know, it's...
I think it's the listing fees or something like that, but
you're clearing $1,000 on the set of something, how much that listing fee, you know, that $2 difference in listing fee really going to affect you?
That's like a whole, like, small bottle of milk, man! I don't know. It's just things like that. I always think to myself, like, you know, I always want to just take the seller aside, go like, look, man, have some confidence. Prototype collectors can get crazy, and that is a rare prototype. You don't need a reserve. And what I'm fearing is what happens if the thing goes up to like 1,500 or something crazy like that, and then it's still, like, reserve not met.
It's going to be a lot of angry bidders.
He wants to keep it more than he wants to sell it, then. That's...
Or, like, the guy must have traded his car to get the set in the first place. Got to make enough for a down payment on the next one.
Maybe he just upped the reserve, and then, like, he'll just contact the sellers afterwards, going, like, look, guys, honestly, I'll give this to you if you trade me your car.
That is the old classic. The wife says I have to get rid of it. But no, honey, it didn't sell on eBay. I don't know why.
Right.
You just put stuff on eBay and you set the reserve for like $5,000. And you're like, well, I'm trying to get rid of it. No one wants it. I'm trying to call in the investment, guys. There is a certain product where the investment probably isn't all that high, but it's still pretty cool stuff. Activators! Got official images of Megatron, Grimlock, and then this is my favorite repaint name ever, Bandit Lockdown!
Does he come with a poncho?
I think he's painted to resemble, like, it kind of looks like he has a poncho.
Yeah, he is painted like that.
He's got a brown chest, so he's like an imaginary poncho. But how cool a name is that? I mean, you're already Lockdown, Lance Henriksen the robot, bounty hunter and cannibalizer of other people's bodies. But now you add the word bandit to the front as well. It's like, and I'm going to rob you.
So, are we going to have, like, Smokey Prowl or something to go Smokey the Bandit? Or?
Smokey Prowl. That's why I was wondering, like Police Bumblebee or whatever, Patrol Bumblebee. No, he should have been called, like Chips Bumblebee.
Chips Bumblebee.
That'd be awesome.
And also, this means Lockdown is getting tons of redecos and prefixes throughout Animate. I mean, there's Lockdown, and now there's Bandit Lockdown, and there's Blazing Lockdown.
And Clear Lockdown.
And yeah, like Stealth Lockdown, we can pretend he's called. It's like, what other prefixes would you add to Lockdown? I mean, what else could it be? There's like Dancing Lockdown.
Culinary Commander Lockdown.
Butcher Lockdown.
Rainy Lockdown.
Yeah, Butcher, you have to keep with the B prefix.
Yes.
When he's drunk, Bumbling Lockdown. Honestly, what I'm hoping for, I want to be able to have, like, a shelf of, like, 90 different Lockdowns, all with amusing prefixes.
The Lockdown family. With the little little Legends baby Lockdown.
And Bandit's the one who's always up to mischief, and it's like the big Lockdown's like, Bandit!
Did anybody else notice the skulls Skullbuckers.
Yeah, I was wondering if that's to cannonball it up, if you remember that, Cybertron repaint. Go for
yes.
The pirate. He's a bandit. He's a pirate. Yar.
It's not neon green, though.
Well, you can only put so much in one of those little guys.
It's like cannonballs driving through a rave or something. I never figured out why it was that color.
Because, man, it's algae.
To go with the whole pirate thing, if you look at the robot mode pictures that's on our resource section, it kind of looks
plug.
Like one of the eyes have blacked out, so maybe he's got a little eye patch.
Remember, guys, that is a plug. Check out our resource section. And, yes, Cannonball's famous eye patch. I always loved that because it was like... they actually got across he has an eye patch while still leaving his whole eye visor still there. To use the word still twice.
Right.
Repro Labels actually did up a pretty cool set for Lockdown of... it was pretty much Cannonball's deco, like his skulls and things he could put onto Lockdown, and it looked really cool. They had one done up at TFCon on their table, and I was like, for a while, I was like, wow, is that, like, show-accurate Lockdown? Because it looked so perfect, I figured that was just some stuff that didn't make it onto the toy. But then they were like, no, that's Cannonball Lockdown. So I was like, ooh, another prefix. There's actually a lot of spoilery stuff we can cover today, so if you guys are ready for it, we could delve into the spoiler dungeon.
Let me get my waders first.
Sounds like a plan.
Let's go.
And that's a reminder to everyone else, if you don't want movie spoilers, there's going to be a buffer, so if you're somehow listening to this but not paying attention, you're going to suddenly hear really loud noises and a distortion-affected voice screaming at you. So if you don't want spoilers for the next Transformers movie, might want to hit up the chapter list. Maybe we talked about some stuff after the spoilers, but otherwise, you may not want to listen to this next conversation. It might be a little much. It might be a little heavy. It might be a little hot. A little saucy. Because of Megan Fox, guys.
Ow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Yeah. Anyway, it's time to enter the spoiler section!
This is the spoiler section. If your future viewing experience of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen will be decimated by spoilers, turn back now. There is no hope. This is the spoiler section.
And we're in the spoiler section.
Hey, this is where he keeps his collection of basement Lockdowns.
They're all fat. And got a laptop strapped to their chest.
They've replaced the hook with a little GameCube controller.
With Yoo-hoo. Big bottle of Yoo-hoo. So yeah, this is the spoiler section. There is some movie news. It's not quite as heavy as the Megatron tank stuff from last week, but still some pretty cool things. The first one that I thought was the most important is because it's based on the cars we're seeing. It's been confirmed that unbelievably sexy silver car is the Centennial Design Concept Corvette. So it looks like another concept car being advertised for the movie. Do you guys think people will be able to purchase this by the time Transformers 3 comes around, or is it going to be another Bumblebee?
Just like the Corvette. Because isn't that just a... it's the design concept, which I think is even a further step out from what the...
The Corvette was?
What the... It was
the Camaro, you mean?
It was the Camaro.
Yeah.
But yeah, you take a look at the one really good picture that we've got attached to the front page news with the kind of ghosty watermarks on it, and that's definitely not a car that you're going to see in production. As cool as it looks, that won't happen. You put that out there, and all the classic Corvette people are going to go to their nearest Chevy dealership and burn something down.
I'm sure my father will be there. That's an almost blasphemous design for him.
Really? I don't know
which
much
means
about
I like it.
I don't know much about car design, but what about it is so off-putting to the Corvette people?
Well, it's a lot more... I want to say futuristic looking, very techno appeal, and it doesn't have the classic Corvette features. They're not,
well,
at least not as prominent as they once were.
At least in that side shot picture, I think I saw a badly focused rear picture that made it look like it had a more classic rear end to it, but it's definitely something that's a lot further than the design norm for the Corvette to sound like I know a whole lot more about cars than I really do.
I know nothing, but, so you guys sound like gurus to me here.
They make go vroom.
you go push vroom. Button, it go forward.
I don't know. I think it's just like the classic in the year 2000 type look where it's all slick and everything.
Yeah.
And as soon as any sort of crash test would look at that, they'd laugh and say, no, it's you can't do that. It has to look more like this just to be able to sell it.
It'll crumple up into something the size of a baseball if you get bumped by another car. I like its...
That makes it biodegradable.
It's made out of hemp, too. I like how curvy it is, but again, like I say, I know nothing about cars, so I base my taste more on what would look cool in the fictional world where the car has, like, guns under the hood and stuff.
It does look really cool and very futuristic, but if they're supposed to be robots in the sky,
yeah.
It's kind of sticking out like a sore thumb.
That's the same thing when Bumblebee was the concept Camaro, and it was pretty much like, well, he happened to scan one of the three in existence as it drove by. It's like, I'm in disguise as an
pretty
obscenely
much.
Rare car that no normal person should have, but I'm in disguise.
How would he get away with the DMV? You went from like a 1974 to a car that's not out yet?
Well, the nice thing is, he drives by, he also scanned the license plate, so
oh, there you go.
I'm still out in the test drive.
So there's some guy out there who's gotten busted. I wasn't going 200 miles per hour.
Is that even possible?
It's more like the test driver is like, no, look, guys, I returned the car! Like, well, why did we see it out in the outskirts of the city chasing a cop car around? But, yeah, it looks like it'll... If it's just a design, then that means it'll skip the unfortunate thing of how, because as was mentioned, you know, a couple weeks ago, in the first movie, Bumblebee was also supposed to be an advertisement for that car, and there are people still waiting for it, as far as I've been told.
Yes.
Any updates on that front, or is it still a case of like, well, you know, you paid us your money, and we will give you this car sometime before you're dead?
Last I heard, it's perpetual coming soon.
Apparently, according to my mom, who is trying to buy one, and no, I cannot talk her into getting the Bumblebee deco.
What color is she getting it in, then?
Probably red.
Oh, Cliff Jumper, there you go.
There you go.
We are nerds! Anyway.
I'm going to sneak over to the house late one night and paint the silver stripes all over it.
Did you know this car appeared in Reign of Starscream issue 3?
It's supposed to be delayed till February now, but I doubt they'll see it by then.
Probably like we're delaying the next delay announcement until February.
Did they say which February?
That's a good point.
February
2015. Well, that's that car, I guess. I'll be interested to see it in the movie, and I guess if it's a design one, then they can really take liberties as well with the whole, you know, that thing they have to deal with the licensees, where they're like, you have to break the image of our car in a certain way, and it transforms.
Right. I can't wait for the message board to say, it's not blue!
Why, it's over!
So would this be an original character, possibly? Or do you guys think this is actually going to be one of the standard canon characters?
I'm pretty sure that we've if dealt it's with an Autobot, it seems like they're sticking to canon names for the Autobots. So I'd assume it'll be yet another like 84 name pulled up.
They've still got some iteration of Trax available. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Now, is he gonna have the pompous British accent though?
Ooh.
They could pull a Swerve and make it Sunstreaker, and then that would lend to some delicious outrage. I mean, if he's streaking the sun, right? That means he's reflective. If he's silver, huh? Yeah.
It's silver.
I could work
streak.
In Hollywood.
We could call him Blue Streak.
No, they couldn't! Yeah, or Silver Streak.
In the movie.
Actually,
really?
Wait a second. Silver Streak. It's a silver car. I just realized. Okay, so there's an obvious one, but maybe it's not. Aside from that, a little bit of news on the release of Return of the Fallen. It's going to open simultaneously in theaters and on IMAX, meaning there won't be a big delay between the two like there was in the first one. Although, admittedly, I don't really have access to an IMAX around. Like, there's an IMAX here, but it's like I have to go out of my way to go to it, so I usually don't bother. But what do you guys think about having the choice on the first night?
Cool, but I went to see the movie in IMAX towards the end of the IMAX run, and as neat as it was and getting to see the extra bits, at least in this particular IMAX theater, it was almost too much. Ginormous screen, and there's no way that you can see it all, so you're doing the, you know, giving yourself whiplash looking back and forth with some of the action scenes. And
oh, and like the Optimus Prime transformations must have been a bit of a mind trip.
Yeah, like, it was cool to see, and I'd probably go to see it there at some point, but probably not opening night, probably not right off the bat, because IMAXs tend to get super hyped as well, so you take the normal opening night stuff and you go crazy with it, and you end up seeing more of the people around and the circus of it and less of the movie.
Closest IMAX theater here is like two and a half hours away in Tampa. So I don't think I'm going to have the option of seeing it opening night in that.
You're not going to go there in costume? And
go there in costume 2 weeks beforehand, wait at the front door.
Come with the Optimus Prime helmet and you know, like that the shirt that looks like G1 Prime's chest.
And two huge cardboard shoulders.
You're going to have the battle rig blasters in each hand?
Yeah. Why do you have two right hands? Never mind.
Stomping around in front of the entrance like, I'm Optimus Prime and I'm ready for this movie! That's why I was surprised that there weren't more costumey types for Transformers. I mean, like, Harry Potter gets them.
Harry Potter doesn't have people dressed up in cardboard boxes.
Well,
it'd be a little hard to sit in the seat that way.
It'd be badass, though, if you're in the front. Everyone would be seeing your shoulders, and they'd all be thinking about you. In very bad ways, admittedly, but...
Yeah, who's that Transformer with the wings in the bottom right corner the whole time? We go and look on the DVD, seeing if they could identify him.
Yourself up as like Deathsaurus, get huge cardboard wings, sit in the front row, go like, I'm in character!
Just go up with like Gigatron with the gigantic bat wings and then just sit in front of like the perfect seats, like one row ahead and just spread the wings out.
Anytime anyone bothers you, start laughing at them and screaming in Japanese.
That'd be awesome.
I
can't wait for the IMAX here. The IMAX theater is actually like 10 minutes down the road.
Oh, nice.
It's not a huge, huge mega screen like some of the IMAX theaters. I'd say it's another third of the normal size of a regular
screen. See, that's the IMAX I'd like to have.
I'd say that's better.
I have like the planetarium dome IMAX an hour and a half away.
I've been to one of those. It's just, oh, my retinas are frying.
Well, that specific theater thinks that if you have all that speaker power, you have to use every last
erg
of it.
Right.
So that first rolling in thing was, you know, I'm sitting there, it's like, you know, Jurassic Park and my drink's trying to shake out of the holder.
It immerses you, just like in the T-Rex scene.
What's that rattling? It's my teeth.
It makes me wonder why I didn't bring headphones to knock out the noise.
You gotta wear earplugs to those things.
So, a good question to ask about this is, are they filming good portions of it in IMAX, or is it just going to be regular filming and re-editing
it? Well, if they're recording
IMAX
everything digitally in the high-def digital systems that they have, surely it's just a matter of telling it to kick it out in IMAX format rather than in the standard format.
And then another thing to ask is, if this is going to be opening out in IMAX, and this is the second movie, will BotCon have this when BotCon does go down? We don't know when that's going to happen, but are we going to be seeing the movie in IMAX?
I don't think we would, because to do that, that was one of the issues with Rhode Island BotCon, wasn't it? That they had to pick a convention center that had like the 9-screen movie theater nearby, because we filled up, what, 4 or 5 theaters?
Easily.
And then, you know, you do that, we've had 2 years of build, a very successful movie. If they were to do it again, they'd have to find something similar and open up the BotCon pre-registration to triple the numbers, because they were just insane numbers of people. I mean, I heard people once we got back home that, you know, had seen on the news or whatever that it was going to be shown at this convention later on, and they really thought that sounded awesome. That's something that they might do out of just, you know, go see this thing. So I could see if they linked it up again, it being a huge draw to BotCon and insane crowds and all that fun / unfun stuff that comes with it.
It is worth it, though, because of all the times I think I saw the movie 2 or 3 times, including the BotCon one. Of all the times seeing it in theater yet, shut up. I liked it. I wanted to see it with a local crowd, because the first time with the BotCon crowd, it was honestly, it was a biased experience, because it's a room full of Transformers geeks. And I mean, you're all hyped up to see this movie, and you know you're seeing it before anyone else. So of course that crowd was, it was a great crowd. But it was also, like, I wanted to try seeing it with a normal crowd, just to see if they'd popped for it the same
way. I was pushing you, because I think I saw it 8 times plus once in IMAX. So, jeez, I saw it.
I thought I was
going. Yeah. Well, it was BotCon, and then I did premiere night here locally. And then I went with, I had a couple of different groups of friends that wanted to go see it, and took me to see it, thinking that, hey, you know, the geek will tell us what we're missing. And
yeah. That's what I had with me. Is like, I saw it at BotCon, then I wanted to see it opening night here. Then a friend of mine wanted to see it, and they were like, I gotta bring you along, because you're the Transformers guy. And I was like, well, I guess, but I've seen it twice, man. And he's like, well, you know.
So I'm not the only one that's happened to?
No. I just went to see it opening night, and that's the only time I wanted to see it, because I wanted to wait for the DVD. I didn't want to overkill myself on the movie. Then my best friend, who I can only get to watch Beast Wars. I can't get her to watch animated, no Beast Machines. Yeah. I couldn't get her to watch anything. She dragged me to this movie 2 more times. And not even with a group or anything. She just wanted to see it again. Hey, you're the patsy. You know what's going on here. Come with me.
I think it was fun seeing the huge dichotomy between the huge groups of fandoms at BotCon. Everyone just cheering for certain parts. Mm-hmm. Like when Blackout first comes out, or the moment the transformation noises go off, or when Frenzy takes out the Secret Service people. But then seeing it with all the, you know, layman people that aren't huge fans, and seeing them still have some of the same reactions.
Exactly, that's why.
The BotCon showing, I did not realize how much I had missed due to the roars of applause or laughter or things, or even in our theater when it was like, you know, a movie by Hasbro, and everybody explodes and starts laughing and screaming, and it's like, well, yeah, Hasbro, woo! Okay, or when Peter Cullen's first line happens and you can't hear it, you know, it's definitely...
That's why I wanted to see it with a normal crowd, because I was like, okay, I know this crowd isn't going to pop at the word Hasbro. I know they're not going to pop at hearing Peter Cullen's voice. But actually, the first crowd I saw it with still did pop at a couple points, which surprised me, because this town's very, very lame town, and its crowds don't usually cheer in movies. So I was like, okay, cool. But did you guys get the thing? I just got to ask you. Did you guys get the thing where, because, you know, you said, you know, it was like, you got to bring this guy along. He's a Transformers guy. Did you guys get the thing where people were like, okay, so tell us how much you hated it. Get all angry nerd for us. You know, kind of like, dance for me, monkey. Dance. Like, they want, like, did you guys get that thing where you had some friends who were, like, waiting for you to get all ragey and nerdy so they could, you know, watch it?
I had one guy at the comic book shop shortly after it came out that was just talking trash about it. No, it was terrible, and it doesn't represent Transformers, and anybody that likes Transformers would be ashamed to see this movie, and I had to look at him, just, like, jaw-dropped, going, did we see the same movie? Okay, yeah, it wasn't a shot-for-shot of More Than Meets the Eye Parts 1, 2, and 3, but it was worth going to see. It was a good, if nothing else, a good popcorn flick summer movie. And then it just became a whole round of, oh, what do you know about Transformers? And the guy, the shop owner, kind of looks at him and looks at me and then looks at him and goes, his pull list is just Transformers. He's got rooms of these things. He knows a little bit. And then it became a, well, I had Prime, the one that was all die-cast and better than anything else ever.
You had that guy?
Yeah. And it was one of those things, it's like, okay,
I'm so sorry.
Your one-time rental purchase in 1984 completely invalidates anything that you've got to say about the continuing franchise. So go away now.
I feel I should say, just to be fair to all the listeners, because we have listeners coming in from iTunes and stuff, what we're laughing at is we're not laughing at you. Let's just say that.
Right.
It's just, there is a stereotype, which is, and in the case of us, we're not angry or anything, we're just kind of having a laugh at it. There's the stereotype of that guy who will come in to see, you know, like this movie, and go like, yeah, I remember when I had that 12-inch tall solid metal Prime who transformed himself and had working lighters in his eyes and stuff. And and then, you know, you'd think it's a silly thing, but then people like Aaron actually show you that it is something that happens out there, and it's something to laugh with each other at.
I didn't have the nerd that just wanted me to rage on the movie, but thanks to the movie, I did get a free G1 Fortress Maximus.
What? Oh, wow.
I didn't get anything for seeing the movie. I had to pay to see it all three times.
Well, what
And how did this happen?
Okay. My dad's boss at work, when he... younger boss. He was a big Transformer fan as a kid. And he went to see the movie, and my dad's got this decal on the back of his windshield, a big Autobot decal that we had custom made, and they got to talking about the movie because the boss just got to see it. He raved over, and he mentioned, oh yeah, and I've still got a bunch of old ones that I had as a kid over at my parents' house. And my dad relays this story to me, and I'm like, and you didn't ask for him? So the next day, I literally march him off with orders, see if you can get these. And as it turns out, not only can he get them, the guy has to get rid of them. His parents have to move. And they're like 2 weeks away from it, and they're all stored over at their house. So he has to go pick them up and needs a place to dump them off. So I more than happily accepted that.
Why do I not have any of
those
stories?
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I always hear about those stories. I mean, I used to have the comic shop I go to used to have a lot of loose Transformers out back in the early 90s, and that is how I got, like, the base body of the Scorponok, who had most of the expensive bits still, that I then spent, like, 10 years putting together because I hate paying parts prices. But, like,
right.
then you hear the story, like, yeah, a friend of mine was like, I want to get rid of some Transformers, and he gave me for free $5,000 worth of AFA-graded mint and sealed box toys, and I'm like,
yeah.
Like, what?
I don't have that. I don't have that one. It was the cooler one was he brought me this huge box full of figures. Fort Max had all but his big rifle that I had to trade for. All the other parts were still there.
Oh, nice.
The weird one was my favorite combiner of all time was a G1 Computron. And the only two that survived my childhood was Scattershot and I want to say Afterburner. And I didn't have their parts, I didn't have their combining bits, nothing. When this box came in, not only did it have the other three bots, not only were all their parts there, all the parts that I had been missing for years was in there, but no duplicates.
That's where they went.
They didn't have a scatter shot. It didn't have, yeah, right.
Wow.
That is my lucky story, and I'm quite proud of it.
Well, in terms of lucky stories, we've got one last movie thing here to cover. We're starting to run out of time. This would have been a discussion. Let me give you the opening half. Shia LaBeouf injures himself, etc., becomes the Handmaster, and then causes a 4-week lapse in primary filming. Or not! Because it turns out that he came in for work today. So, what do you guys think of this whole legendary saga that managed to spawn a whole lot more discussion than I expected it to.
Look at the picture. He has a bionic arm. That's all I'm saying.
He is the Handmaster!
No, looking at the picture, if that's actually the authentic picture from today, you know, he's got a 5 o'clock or maybe 10 o'clock shadow, arm all wrapped up, t-shirt sleeve ripped off, and his whole arm in like a soft cast thing. I don't see him doing anything more than just going, hey, how you doing? I'm here.
Yeah.
Or maybe doing sight lines or being there so that other people can kind of act around him and hopefully in the 4 weeks or whatever it'll take him to recuperate fully, you know, then try and come and fill that stuff back in from his side. It may end up with some kind of choppy editing for some scenes.
I'm kind of glad that this happened for the second movie and not the first because we had the whole happy time joke. It would have just made it so much worse.
Hey guys, this is having some happy Sam time.
That's extreme happy Sam time. Liquefies bones.
Well, yeah, so grats to Shia and grats to the movie that they don't have to halt all primary filming, and it looks like it'll come out on time. Anyway, that's pretty much all the movie spoilers we've got. Have you guys got anything else to add before we close out here tonight?
Not a whole lot off the top of my head. About the only other thing was more stuff for Universe Ironhide that I can't wait for, but actually seeing the back of his package, and he's one of the oldest Transformers, or the oldest Transformer I've forgotten since I read it.
I think it's the oldest.
Alpha Trion doesn't exist anymore, apparently.
What about Cup?
Cup forgot to fill out the application for him.
Ah.
Or maybe it's the whole time loop thing. He was caught in stasis wherever then Cup was made, but Cup's been active or online longer, and then Ironhide comes back. So he's technically the oldest, but less experienced.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. There we go.
My head hurts. What?
It's like time travel, but in reverse.
It's probably a good...
Maybe.
Right.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Okay, it's a cheap plug night. I will say that by the time this is up, you'll probably be able to see what I think of Energon Optimus Prime.
Oh, you're doing Energon Optimus
that
Prime.
That is, yes, that is this week's victim.
All right, remember, awesome. Folks, check signatures. We all put links in them. So
come see my stuff, please.
Look at our stuff. Chill. Yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and hopefully this one will be up a bit more timely than last week's. I was going to make a joke about how episode 3 going up was amidst this week's news, but, you know, it got cut because I was all sour about it. I hope you've all enjoyed the show, and we all enjoy you listening
to it. Give us reviews, good reviews. You can come on the boards and give us the bad reviews, but... Keep that iTunes review number up.
Anyway, that's the podcast. So this is Vangelis. That was Aaron, Lupus, and Omegas.
See ya.
So
ciao.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later.
Farewell.
Bye bye.
Happy to then.
Next week, find out what coffee and donuts Dryden would have for lunch if he were a Transformer.
I don't know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.